Hey everybody, it's JR. I just want to talk to you a little bit today about something that happened to me the other day. And Dave asked me if I'd tell you about it, just because it kind of changed my life. I think it'll change your life. It changed his life. Changed my aunt's life. Changed everybody's life. So I was down at my cousin Skeeter's shop the other day, and I walked in there and I was trying to steal a couple parts because my Ford ain't working right. And Skeeter walked in. He didn't know what I was doing because Skeeter's kind of stupid. And he was like, "Hey, bud, I got something I need to tell you. Why don't you take a seat right there?" I had a seat right there. He said, "I want to tell you about something that I found out today. If you haven't heard about it, I think it's right time you did." He said, "It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way imaginable to make a podcast." And I was like, "Skeeter, all right, well, you have my curiosity, you got my attention, bud." So he said, "Well, let me talk to you about it." He said, "It's free. There's creation tools on it. They allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. And it'll distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, many other things, many more platforms. You can make money from your podcast, no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place." And I started thinking about it, and I ain't never heard Skeeter say none of these words before. So obviously it took to him pretty well. It must be pretty important to him. So I just want to come on here and tell you that you should download Anchor today. And, you know, just do with it what you want to do, man. Just have a good time with it. My cousin Skeeter's making a podcast now. And he just is just having time of his life with it. And, you know, I keep stealing his parts, but he's making money from Anchor, and it kind of offsets it all, so he can keep living, and he can feed his kids and his family and all that stuff right there. So download Anchor today, and maybe you can be, you know, the next Skeeter. I don't know.
Following total atomic annihilation, the rebuilding of this great nation of ours may fall to you. That's why we here at Vault Boys WB will take you on an oral tour of the beautiful state of West Virginia. There's no other place to be better prepared for the impending fallout. Now we go live to our team of experts.
Hello, and welcome to the season 2 premiere of Vault Boys WB. Let's give a round of applause for us. We're self-serving every day. If you didn't know, this is a weekly podcast bridging the gap between Fallout 76 and West Virginia through history, culture, and personal experiences. Some of it has references, and the rest is just our local take. From Holler to Highway, we've got you covered, 6 Ways to Sunday. I am your resident Appalachian scribe, Dave Chaffins, and joining me in a mysterious return is the dark horse of Charlie West, Austin O'Connor. How are you doing, Austin?
What's going on, man?
Hey.
It's been a while.
What you been doing? What you been up to?
Just hanging around? Just doing stuff.
That's fun. So, recently, I met up with you. I went to the Mothman Festival alone. You have to park.
Yeah.
Way out. Way out. And, well, if you want to pay, you can pay $10 and then get a bus and take in.
Right.
Or you're like me, and you got to park far, far, far away. And so there was a trek to get to the Mothman Festival. And so it's like the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one Fitbit step. So I'm walking to, I get into it, and the first person I see, Austin O'Connor. I was like, oh, thank God.
And my mom.
And your mom.
And Sandy Schrader.
She's great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed spending time with her.
Neither of us had ever been to the Mothman Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Hey, you want to go do this?" She was like, "Yeah, sure." So drove to Kentucky, picked her up, and we went to Point Pleasant. So it was kind of overwhelming at first. Like you said, it's like I got into Point Pleasant, and it was only like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Oh, yeah, we're early. And the traffic was like backed up a mile to get onto the bridge into Point Pleasant. I mean, people love the Mothman Festival.
I was surprised in the turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great that it had such a great turnout, and it's very exciting.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people there.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was popular, but I didn't realize that at 10 a.m. there would already be like 5,000 people there.
And
like,
this
just
is like
ready
a,
to go.
A small town. Like, this is not like a... yeah. like a big area like Huntington or Charleston or Morgantown or even Bluefield.
They basically doubled their population with that festival, like for the day. Like they brought in, I think, probably close to what their normal population, which is awesome.
It was crazy to me that so many people have, because you have to drive.
Yeah.
That so many people have driven in from all over to go to this festival.
I saw, plates from Kentucky. I think I saw like three from Missouri and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ohio's right there, but still out of state. Like, you're bringing people into Point Pleasant, and I think that everyone is just like, man, a Mothman Festival. I've never heard of that. Like, you don't see that anywhere else, so, which is their claim to fame. It's the only one, and the museum, only one in the world, so.
And it was really interesting to me. First of all, when I mm-hmm. saw you, you were halfway through the line at the Mothman Museum.
Yes.
And so I decided to cut myself in line with you and
your
mother.
Well, see, we planned it that way.
Right. It was just
It is funny. This is like one of those things where it's like, oh man, I was going to call you. We had gotten there like 5 minutes before that. And literally right before I saw you, I was like, I need to call David because I'm pretty sure he and Selena are coming up here.
Yeah.
And then I look up and I saw you in the distance. I was like, I'm just going to see how long it takes him to see me in this line. And there you came and you saw me.
I mean, you were taller than most of the other people. So that once I got like a few yards away from you, I was like, oh yeah, there he is.
I was like, mom, there's David. She was like, where? So, and then there you came kind of meandering through.
Just kind of chilling. Well, it was nice to cut in line and then get into the museum. But
yeah,
the lines there, especially for the Fallout merchandise booth, I've never seen a line that long. And I'm sure that there has never been a line that long for anything in Point Pleasant in the history of the town.
Yeah, that was pretty, it was cool though. It's like, man, like, I think that Bethesda having a presence there really was, that was just a really,
it really
cool
made,
thing to do.
It really made the festival, for me, and I'm sure for a lot of people as well, we had so many people that were cosplaying there.
Oh,
I mean, in full, like, vault getup with, I saw some guys with, like, state license plates, like, strapped to them.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
And it's, like, 88 freaking degrees.
I felt hotter than that, though, when the sun hit
And I was sweating. I had a sunburn in a V down the middle of my shirt.
I had put sunscreen on, but my mom didn't. So when I got her home, she was like, oh my God, my face is so red. I was fine. I mean, I'm pale, so I knew I needed sunscreen, but I didn't expect it to be that hot.
But people were committed to these costumes and had an assortment. And you had not just like, we had a bunch of people that were in like their vault getup. Mm-hmm. I saw one that was like dressed up in a Lady Nuka cosplay that was really cool. But I would say, 50% of the people had some sort of Fallout paraphernalia on, whether it was
there were a lot of shirt,
whether it was the hats, which I got, and I got to pose and, and look
you
real
were,
sad.
You were just ecstatic.
I was ecstatic about
But really, there were a lot of cosplayers that were just there for the Mothman, too. Like, the Men in Black walking around, people in the actual Mothman suit. I think there was a Sasquatch
somewhere.
And then, obviously, you had Vault Boy walking around.
Which, by the way, Vault Boy's met Vault Boy.
Yes. It was a colliding of two worlds.
It was.
It was really special. I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
I had
the
a way tear he gave in my
that,
eye.
The way he gave that thumbs up.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Melted me.
The guy that was like kind of, you know, ordering people, all right, next. They come up, take a picture. I was like, can we both stand in there? And he was like, I mean, I guess, man. Like, I don't think anyone had asked him that yet. Like, can we just get on each
can
side?
Can we both stand in there, please?
Yeah. Two 25-year-olds, like, can we both get a picture with him? I think that he was like, sure, man, if it's going to make you happy.
Whatever you want.
That was fun, though.
And then I whispered in his ears, you're going, I was like, thank you so much, sir. I
whispered sweet nothings
into his ear.
Yeah. But I can't imagine being in any of those suits that day. I hopefully would have like a fan. Inside because it was hot. But yeah, I mean, and it went on Friday night was like a kickoff event and Saturday and Sunday. So you think about how many thousands of people in a weekend span came to Point Pleasant. It's really awesome.
I was overall very, very impressed with how how not only Bethesda came and allowed them to give out these free hats and masks and stuff, and that really connected everybody.
Yeah.
But other people, like as I was going out of the event, they had the Boy Scouts set up, and this little kid was yelling like, We've got radiation-free lemonade, and our batch is only 2 rads for...
That's for the brand right there.
I mean, they really had everybody going on this train.
And you think about it, and how many people that were there that probably didn't know what Fallout was before, and then now they see all these people that love it, and they're like, oh, and they probably looked it up. They now are much more aware. So that was definitely, I think, good for Point Pleasant. It was good for Bethesda. It's just, it was a really good weekend.
I think it was a great way to intro what Fallout is and like the aesthetic of it and the reception, and what a great way to join the community with West Virginia citizens and the people that come out to these things. I mean, in less than 2 months, it's going to come out and it's going to change West Virginia in a lot of the ways that other major media has, like We Are Marshall, or, you know,
it's going to open up the state to a lot of people. That's going to be cool. And if you have not been to a Mothman festival before, I think we both recommend that you make it down to Point Pleasant.
I would say that you would need to.
Yes, it is very unique, and there's a lot of things to see. The Mothman Museum itself, I mean, I think when we walked out of the museum, the line had almost tripled from when we got in line. So,
oh gosh.
I mean,
I went back past it. We walked all the way down to the
state park, the two
Indies, with the multiple obelisks down there. There's like all these obelisks everywhere, and it was like, oh, what do we put here? Oh, another obelisk. That's another.
And then Chief Cornstalk's grave, which we have talked briefly about Chief Cornstalk,
right?
I believe in a previous episode. Yeah. So there's history there. There's lore. There's everything. They even, in the Mothman Museum, we were looking at the props from the Mothman Prophecies movie with Richard Gere and Laura Linney. So there's a lot of cool stuff there. There's old newspaper clippings. There's a store. There's Men in Black. There are aliens. Mm-hmm. Really something for everybody.
We got matching Mothman shirts. We held them up because we're big dorks in front of the, what is that, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and Ghostbusters cosplayers.
Yes.
The Mothman Festival really just gives you the tools to be your own boss for the day, I think is the best way to put it.
That's a great byline right
there. It really just opens up whatever you want to do, Mothman related, you know, sci-fi related, fantasy related. You just kind of, you know, you can live your life that day, and it really just, it all makes sense at the end of the day.
There's really no other festival like it that is entirely centered around a single cryptid.
Oh yeah. And then obviously you have like carnival food and lemonade and, you know, funnel cakes.
I got a big old lemonade.
Yeah, it was really good. It was good on a summer day.
Yeah.
But I'm ready for fall, I'm not gonna lie.
I'm getting the fall vibes right now. I'm hashtag fall vibes.
Yeah.
It's getting cooler. It's not 90 degrees anymore here in Charleston. We're getting down into the 70s, which is like the ideal fall weather. So I get to sit in my like little pergola in my backyard and drink some wine and read The Shining, which is what I did this weekend.
The Shining.
The Shining, yeah. I like to... So... To kind of segue, and before I forget, I do want to thank Bethesda again for coming out and supporting all that stuff.
I think it
really means a lot to not only the people that put on the festival, but to
the state
that you're able to come in.
The Fallout fans that, you know, that's the closest they've ever been able to be to seeing a lot of them to seeing an event like that where there are like official Bethesda sponsored things going on.
Right.
And I think, it's just, like you said, it's good for everybody.
It's good. So, part of fall, and now it is officially fall, I know, when it is fall, because my dog's birthday is around that time, and I call him the spirit of autumn. I like to do spooky things, scary things, not to other people, but I play, like, horror video games, and now I'm reading The Shining, which I tried to start about 3 years ago, and I didn't finish, but I'm very excited and reading it now, and I like to watch one horror movie every week of October.
I've only watched one so far. I watched The Mothman Prophecies before.
That's a thriller. That's not a horror movie.
It's pretty scary, though. The hotel scene, you can't tell me that you haven't... If you were in a dark room like I was...
Like you were,
and that hotel scene comes on, and Indrid Cold is on the phone. Which, first off, Indrid Cold coolest name ever. Like, I want that to be my new PlayStation.
The Grinning Man.
You get a call from him, and it's like this echoed, like creepy, high pitched voice that doesn't match anything of any human. I'm going in right now. So just,
all right, buckle up.
And this man's talking to Richard Gere on the phone, and you're telling me that you don't get a little bit scared when this man starts talking about, I can read your mind and all this stuff. And Richard Gere's like, what's in my hand? And he reaches in the dark, in the drawer, and you don't even see what's in there. And the man says, chapstick. And Richard Gere opens his hand, and sure enough, there's chapstick there, and you don't get a little scared?
I don't know, man.
And then he like shuts the blinds, and he's... gets down and he pulls out a book and he says, what's the like the third line of page 73? An injured cold echoes the third line of page 73 and you don't get a little bit scared?
I don't know. The book thing, I think, is like, you know, it's like illusionists building up their tricks. So it's like the book thing was like the big
thing. But then there's a scene where Richard Gere gets up in the middle of the night in his hotel room. And he walks in the bathroom. He slams his head in the mirror. But then it was like a vision. He didn't actually do it. He thought about doing it. But then when he closes the bathroom door, there's a mirror on the back of the door. And it closes. There's like a figure standing in there. But they never... No, that never happens. You just see. So it's like the Mothman is just toying with him.
It's like some Marble Hornet stuff.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, I'm like, man. Like, injured cold. This guy could be real. You never know. I don't know.
Did I watch the Slenderman videos with you? Was that a thing that was one of the high school
please
things?
Please don't. Let's not go down this road again.
Did we watch
I have blocked those from my memory. Yes, because we watched those.
That's what we did for... It was like maybe after our first year of college. Oh, we went over to my friend's basement.
Yes.
And we would watch The Room and Marble Hornet Slenderman videos.
I think we made it through like 30 of them or something like that at one point. We watched a lot of them.
And do you remember the trick that we did?
Which one?
Well, we scared our buddy Nick real good.
Oh yeah, Nick scared of everything.
Well,
not really, but
they faked that I had disappeared from the car, and they like we were in a convoy of these cars, and they all pulled aside, and then Nick gets scared of absolutely everything. So you're like going through this little park, and they're trying to find me or whatever, and they're like, we don't know, we're gonna have to call his parents and let him know that he's just gone.
That's
Nick
so long
freaking
ago.
Out. And they're like, we need something out of the trunk. And they had put a blanket over me in the back of the trunk. And Nick opens the trunk, and I throw the blanket back and go, ah! And that guy, I thought he was going to poo his pants, that guy.
He's probably still scared. He's scarred. Wasn't Nick, like, terrified of, like, a certain material blanket, too?
Oh,
like,
velvet. Yeah, velvet. You throw a velvet blanket on him and be like, oh, God, no.
That would be worse than him actually seeing, like, the literal Slenderman, is if you just throw a velvet blanket on him. I remember he's like, ah, every time you touched him with it.
Shout out to Nick.
I have a video on my phone right now, I'm pretty sure, from, like, 2013 of him getting, like, I think it was you making him touch a velvet blanket. In Nathan's grandmother's basement. Yeah, wow. Good times.
Well,
so Mothman horror movie.
Mothman
confirmed.
Horror movie.
You heard it here first.
A thriller movie, from my opinion.
With some horror.
I'm not.
It's not the scariest movie. It's not one of those movies that like scars you, but it's like the psychological horror to me because it's a very psychological. Like he's driving from D.C. to Richmond, and then he, like, blinks, and it's, like, 4 in the morning, and he's in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and has no recollection of driving there. Like, that's kind of, like, that type of stuff is what creeps me out. Like, thinking about, like, the supernatural, not, like, some, you know, like, Michael Myers coming out and, like, stabbing you. Like, I get scared from, like, these, like, weird, unexplainable
occurrences.
Yeah,
well, you can
stuff freaks me out.
I mean, yeah, after I'm done with The Shining, you can read that because that book.
I've
gives
seen
me,
the movie. I'd like to read the book.
That book gives me chills reading it.
Is it even creepier?
It
in
is
text.
Than it is better than the movie, really? And I love the movie.
The movie's really good.
Anywho, all right. Enough about our personal high school stories.
Wait, hold on. I have to tell one short story about The Shining.
What you got?
When I was going a last plane trip, I took the kid next to me because they had like movies on the plane, and the kid next to me was watching The Shining for the very first time ever. So I like would frequently look over at his face as he's watching this. And like every once in a while, it was just sort of like this like very concerned face. And then I like waited for the very end, like when he like just like smashes the door down with the axe. He's like, here's Johnny. And this kid was genuinely like, like his eyes were wide open. Like he didn't know what to do. So I paused my movie and just sat like this and was just watching him the entire time.
That's a show in itself.
Yeah. I've never had that experience of like getting to watch someone else see like a crazy good movie, like plot twists. Well, it was kind of a slow developing plot twist, but like the climax of all of this and just watching him like, because his face was like wide eyes and then he'd like sit back and then he'd come back close to the screen and then he was like putting his hands on his head like this. Kid was stressed, but it was a beautiful moment. All right. That's my story.
I like that story. That's good. But with that and all of our, I haven't seen this boy for a long time. So this is my vault boy here. So I need to catch up a little bit on this.
B-O-I, vault, B-O-I.
B-O-I, yeah. Until I change the logo, and then people are like, what's vault goys? I don't know what goys is. All right. With that, let's move into our next segment. So, Austin, this week in Fallout 76 news, there is a little bit of news, but before we get into the news, I want to know what you think of the previous news. Have you been keeping up with some stuff here?
A little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit. I think, so in terms of the nuclear warfare in the game, it being revealed that comes after you finished, the main story. And
right, after you're done with everything.
I think that a lot of people will probably be relieved to hear that because I think some people were worried that, I'm at this point, but some people are going to like rush through to try to get the nukes and it's just going to suck because that's just going to sidetrack me. Mm-hmm. So if you're more so focused on the gameplay itself, getting the missions finished, all that stuff, like I think that's reassuring that you don't need to worry about getting nuked every 10 minutes. Like if it's going to be way down the road, like once you've completed this, that's when you can do this. I think that's good because that's going to make a lot of the players that have really enjoyed the single player stuff and not had to worry about multiplayer, I think that's going to make them feel even more reassured that they're still going to get like the full Fallout experience. So I think that's really good. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wrote down was in terms of like regions being split by level. I think that's going to be interesting because that makes it even sort of like they'll be like leveled within a region. I'm understanding that correctly, right? So, like, I think that's going to maybe add more strategy to it, like where you want to go, where you want to avoid.
I think that'll make, because there's kind of like in Fallout 4, it's, and I'm pretty sure in Fallout 3 too, there's like somebody made a heat map of like the difficulty of the monsters as you go through. And I think it's more difficult as you get closer to like that nuclear site in the southwest of the map. But it's going to be nice, I think, because it'll allow people to explore that area more, like what they're comfortable with, and then like slowly add in this. And so it'll be like a nice way to, take your time, I think, with.
And I think, it could add strategy in the sense that you need to get from point A to point B, but maybe you're not really equipped enough to go through a certain section, so you have to maybe go the longer way to get there. Go through a little bit easier section. You know what I mean? Like kind of plan your route a little better, more strategic transportation.
Do some sneaking around.
A little sneaking, something like that. Something that's just going to, it's just going to add another layer, I think, to overall strategy of the game, which I enjoy. I think that's cool. It'll keep it fresh. Just add more to it.
So, as you've been keeping up with the news and everything, the news has been pretty slow. I'd imagine that here soon we're going to get some information on the beta. That'll be coming up, and I'm sure once that is out, we'll probably get a little bit more information on the game. So here in the next week, keep your ears, eyes, nose, feet, whatever, peeled for some extra news. But there is a little bit of news that I wanted to cover this week via Twitter. Which is a platform that we are on, that I sometimes will shout off into the darkness, or maybe make a joke at the Fallout account or Bethesda account, and then people can like it.
Dad jokes.
dad jokes. And then for last week, I did a whole rhyming scheme of not having an episode. And then I
saw that.
Yeah. I rhymed a written with fresh. Mitten. I kept it fresh. So Bethesda recently tweeted a picture of an in-game weapon in Fallout 76. It looks like a banjo-style instrument with large blades encompassing the ends. The tweet reads, "How does Appalachia differ from the Commonwealth or Capital Wasteland? It starts with a guitar sword." So that, number one, confirms guitar swords.
That's a thing that I've been waiting for a long time.
It reminds me of this old game called Brutal Legend. Had Jack Black as the main character, and you went around, you had a guitar, and you would like slice people. So
it's sort of like a guitar sword. It's sort of like, I guess, like a banjo, guitar, sword, whatever you want to call it, because it was a really interesting design. But it's something that I never really knew that I needed, but now I know that I definitely need it.
Right,
and I'm really glad that it's going to happen.
The only thing that's disappointing is I think Pete Hines confirmed that you cannot play the guitar sword.
That'd be cool. You're playing like Deliverance on the way through.
Yeah, that to me, that you know, didn't make it a necessity as you're sitting in a room filled with guitars.
You could also terrify someone.
That's true.
You're crouched, hidden. They're walking through. They think they're alone. You just like slash them.
You see, that would be good. That would be like misdirection. I like
You're
that.
Just sitting on a porch waiting for people to come by, just playing the banjo. I would definitely do that.
The second thing that this confirms is the name of the region itself. So in previous games, we have the Mojave, Capital Wasteland, and the Commonwealth. This confirms it as Appalachia. So that's what
I like it.
That's what they're calling the area. So a little story behind Appalachia, the word itself, is there are 13 different ways to say Appalachia.
But only one's correct.
But only one is correct. And for this is mainly for southern and central Appalachia, because Appalachia really spreads from like Pennsylvania, like the top of Pennsylvania all the way down into like Georgia, you know, over into Kentucky and in Virginia and like all around. It's kind of a larger area, but you know, West Virginia is the only state that is 100% within what the government considers the Appalachian region. With that being said, it is very telling in this area of how you say Appalachia. There are 13 different ways to say it, and all of them are right. However, when you're in the area, you will undoubtedly be judged on how you say it.
If you throw a Y in there, it's game over.
Appalachia? No. People will know that you're not from here.
There's not a Y. There's not an S at the end. Appalachia. It's just Appalachia.
Well, and I think it's interesting because it's named after... At the very base of the mountains, there was the Appalachian Indians, which the Appalachian Mountains are named after. And so the way that you say Appalachian is the way is the way that we say it. So there's like a little more reinforcement over what is correct and what is incorrect. Well,
there's also the school that everyone pronounces correctly, Appalachian State. So I don't know where between them saying Appalachian State and Appalachia, they get Appalachia.
Appalachia.
It's somehow like when you take away the state, Appalachian State, they just go, oh, well, Appalachia. And it's always, it seems like it's always like news reporters or like weathermen that are like new to Appalachia. And I used to hear it all the time in Charlotte. I'd be watching the news in Charlotte and they would always call it Appalachia or the Appalachian Mountains. And I'm like, that's not how you pronounce it.
Yeah, there used to be, what was it? I think it was a power company or maybe a resource company that had commercials that were like, you know, we really care about the community here in Appalachia, and we're a part of that. And I'm thinking, no, you're not.
And it's like Appalachian Power.
Yeah.
Like people, it's like these companies, they'll pronounce the company correctly, but then somehow when it comes to the actual region.
So pro tip, if you want to sound like you're from here, it's Appalachia. No, Appalachia. Now, as far as the Monongahela or Monongalia, a good rule of thumb is people around here just call it the Mon.
The Mon, yeah. which I actually wasn't aware of until I moved to Charleston.
Yep, this is the Mon.
When I was in Huntington, and it's what, 40 minutes away?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard it, but here I hear it all the time.
It's the Mon.
The Mon. The Mon. Especially easy. When I was up in Morgantown, like, and hearing, yeah, just Mon.
Easy. It cuts it out. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to say it now. As far as saying the word hurricane or how you pronounce the river in front of the Capitol building?
Canal.
Canal. Like you're from Louisville. It's a whole different story. Now, the second tweet that I want to point out is Bethesda posted a mysterious photo of a fence line with a painted outline of a skeleton torso that's in orange. It has a torso and a head, and the writing on the fence post says, "Sickle Man was here." So there'll be more on that here in a bit. But for right now, we'll move on into our next segment. So Austin, this week, I have a very special topic, and we're going to start with something familiar and move into something a little more unfamiliar with a little bit of speculation kind of mixed into all that. So this week, I wanted to talk about the Beast of Grafton, which we've seen in the trailers. It's like a big, in the game trailers, it's like a big, like pale gray Hulk looking.
He lifts.
He lifts.
Yeah.
And he's like knocking stuff over and he's punching things with his big medial arms. So I've got a little bit of real history on the Beast of Grafton. Well, as real as it can be.
Okay.
As we know it is a cryptid.
Let's get into it.
On June 16th, 1965, Robert Cockrell was driving home from a late shift at the Grafton Sentinel. Going at 50 miles per hour, his headlights caught a huge white obstruction on the right side of the road. The object looked like an unusual living beast that stood 9 feet tall and 4 feet wide. The skin of it looked like a seal and was white. The most interesting thing was that it had no head. When he got home, he grabbed two of his friends to go back and look for the beast, but found nothing but large patches of matted down grass where the beast once stood. They did hear a low whistling sound. As they moved around, they could not see anything, but they could tell that something was making a noise. Cockrell went to work and woke up to write an article in the local paper about his encounter. After the article was published on the 18th, the town's residents quickly were caught up in monster hunting mania. More than 100 residents, armed with flashlights, mallets, crowbars, bats, and even more weapons like pitchforks, roamed the river and woods at night in hopes of seeing the so-called headless horror.
Dun, dun, dun.
During this time, there were 20 confirmed sightings that were heavily questioned and proved to align with Cockrell's account. One young team described it as an escaped polar bear. The next day, the paper published a second article that downplayed the severity, calling Cockrell's account spring fever, and refused to publish the remaining accounts acquired by Cockrell. Cockrell collaborated with a UFO journalist named Gray Baker to republish his account, but they never were. In 1995, letters, notes, and newspaper clippings were uncovered that showed the full story of Gary's research into the Grafton Beast. In 2014, the show Mountain Monsters went searching for the beast and found video evidence of a very tall creature moving quickly through the tree line in Grafton, West Virginia. Austin, what do you think about this monster mania?
The Grafton monster has always confused me because, and just sort of the way that, I guess, the witnesses said, the fact that it doesn't have a head has always scared me. I think, like, when you see things, the less human-like they are, like, it's like it is human-like, but then it's not. Like, when you get that sort of sense of both, it's, like, even creepier to me. So, like, I see this, and I'm like, well, one, like, okay, how is it? How does it see? How does it eat? I don't know. It just is a very odd looking creature. I'm looking at it right now and I'm like, man, this thing is ugly, but I don't know. Part of me is like, I mean, if it's sort of like a blob, like how good of a look did he get at it? You know what I mean? Like it could have kind of been, like you talk about Mothman and the glowing red eyes and like they said it was human and flew and people got like a really good look at it, they say. But like this kind of seems like it's sort of like in passing. Like they think they just saw a big creature. It could have been like a bear. It could have been, you know what I mean? Like, and you think about it like that. But then
it could have been anything. But what's interesting is that everyone like described it as something that didn't have a head.
Yeah. And that's the only reason I'm like, well, what could it have possibly been that they're mistaking for this? But
right.
I don't know, man. It's creepy. And but I look at the show, the television show coming, and like they were looking for it, and they see how did you put it? They saw a very tall creature moving quickly through the tree line.
Right.
Like that could be anything. They're gonna obviously want to get their views.
Yeah, if you go look at the footage, it's like that could be a deer.
It could be a deer.
But then again, I do not hunt the monsters. Yeah. I just talk about them.
I mean, better them than me, because I don't really want to do that. But it's another one of those things kind of going along with, you know, Flatwoods Monster, Mothman, Sasquatch. Like, it's just interesting to me that in 2018, we still don't have a detailed photo. We still don't have the answers,
yeah.
Or a detailed video with how everyone has a cell phone that has a camera on them now.
But are people looking?
That's true. But it just seems like any evidence that we see, it looks like they took the photo with like a potato or something. Like it's like grainy and you can't see anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, in 2018, like the United States or like West Virginia, it's one state. There's a lot of people in this state now, like that, and a lot of people that hike and they go out in the woods and they do this stuff. And 99% of them have something that can take a decent quality photo with. Someone, I feel like, needs to bring... I'm like J. Jonah Jameson right now. Like, they need to get these photos to me. Like, I need this.
I want Spider-Man.
I want the Krafton Monster. Like, I want it. So, like, just bring me the photos, and we can talk. I say all this, but I still do believe. Like, I'm my skeptical side is coming out. But I still do believe that this thing is real.
See, the thing that I think is most interesting is that not only did he see this, it spawned a community event in which all of the like brave high schoolers and young adults went out like Frankenstein style with like torches and pitchforks to go hunt down a monster in the middle of the night.
Like, what are you guys going to do if that thing just like demolishes everything? Sun's getting real low, big guy. Like, no, like you're just going to get murdered. Like,
I have no clue what you would do if you saw this thing. However, out of the, I think it's a little over 100, 20 people had accounts of this monster and they all lined up.
Yeah. And that's what freaks me out. Cause it's like, okay, if it is just like a bear or it's, you know, something that can be explained, one of those 20 people you would think would have been like, oh, it was just a bear. Like, but they all were like very adamant about the fact that this thing is, it doesn't have a head. Like everything was like, okay, like this thing's supernatural. Like it's not something that you can explain. This is a like extraterrestrial being right now.
I definitely think supernatural. I think it's interesting that all of the times that it's shown in the trailers, it's always like destroying stuff. It's like knocking over stuff and pounding like literally like a bull in a china shop, like just like turning over everything. With that being said, Austin, Halloween's upon us. Would you be interested in a ghost story?
I would.
This has a little bit to do with the Grafton Monster. This is The Head in the Well from the Telltale Lilac Bush and Other West Virginia Ghost Tales by Ruth Ann Music. In an old homestead near Mount Harmony, West Virginia, 150 years ago, lived a beautiful young woman named Mary Meadows. Every man for miles around wanted her for his wife, but she only cared for Tom Dixon, who, like herself, was young and handsome. The wedding day was set, the big cabin was made ready, and the marriage took place. The young couple seemed to be ideally happy. Some of Mary's many admirers were very disappointed over her choice of Tom Dixon. One man especially seemed brokenhearted. His name was Jack Wilson. He was an odd person who never forgot anyone that got in his way. As the months passed, he got worse. He wouldn't talk to anyone. He was always in the woods, and people saw less and less of him. Soon, he was a type of wild man, bearded and dirty, with clothes in rags and eyes that had the look of a maniac. One day, Wilson saw Mary in the town of Fairmont. Knowing that Tom Dixon would be home alone, he crossed the river and took the road that led to Mount Harmony and Dixon's farm. Along the way, he stopped in a nearby woods and retrieved a scythe that he had placed there long before. Like some wild man, he crept upon Dixon, who was hoeing corn in his big cornfield. However, Tom's dog saw him and started to bark. Tom looked around just in time to see the wild man looking madman coming at him with a scythe. He started to run for the house with Wilson close behind him. He had got as far as the well when he tripped, and before he could get up, Wilson was upon him. Now he had to fight for his life, and some fight it was. But he finally took the scythe and with one big swing cut off Wilson's head, which rolled into the well. Horrified at what had happened, he carried the body deep into the woods and hid it under the brush. He never said anything to his wife about the fight, and even killed a young pig and threw it into the well to keep anyone from using the water. 2 weeks passed. No one missed Wilson, much because of his queer ways. He was believed to have left the neighborhood and was soon forgotten. However, he was anything but gone. And soon everyone was to know of him in a different way. Without any warning, Tom Dixon, who in 2 weeks seemed to have aged 20 years, sold his farm, took his wife, and moved to the far west, never to be heard from again. The new owner of the farm was a very good man by the name of Salters, who soon moved in. This was the story he told. Every night when the moon was full, he would hear a deep voice call out from the woods, "Where is my head?" From down in the abandoned well, a burbling answer would come, "Down here in the well." Then the voice in the woods would say, "Where? I can't find the well." Then after a short pause, the voice would start all over, and the conversation would repeat over and over all night long until the full moon would disappear the next morning. This went on for years. Salters moved out, and nobody would live in the house for any length of time, and the farm was soon reclaimed by the woods. It's one of the most popular ghost stories from that book in particular. And so to kind of tie all this back in, first of all, what's your reaction? Because you're looking quite stunned over there.
If I lived somewhere and I heard that voice calling out, "Where's my head?" And then I heard it answer and it just went over and over and over, I would just have to go outside and be like, "Dude, like, let me guide you. Let me pull you over here. Just leave us alone." I don't know. That's creepy, though. Because I used to think, when I was a child, my grandma used to tell my cousins and me, she would tell us ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very scary ghost stories. And often she would have them take place in her house and make it about where we were sleeping that night. And it would scare the you-know-what out of me. And I used to, like, my mind would make me hear things like that. Like, I would, and mm-hmm. I was like, "I can't stay here anymore, Nana. I can't do this." Like, she scarred all of us. So, like, anything with, like, a voice, like, you're going to hear something,
mm-hmm.
that freaks me out. That's why I was over here, like, having, like, PTSD flashbacks to, like, the stories that my Nana would tell me when I was a kid. But, like,
you look uneasy.
Yeah, I'm, like, kind of shook right now. But that was, I like that. And I like the fact that it's a West Virginia ghost story.
So, to tie it all in, we've got the Grafton Monster.
Mm.
We've got this ghost story. And we've got Sickle Man.
So
here's some more facts that I've done through some extra research. So Mount Harmony, where this occurred, is 16 miles from Grafton, West Virginia.
Oh, man.
It is not only 16 miles, it is located downstream on the Tigert Valley River, which is the same river that the Grafton Monster was found. The theory that I have and that I've come with is not just in Fallout, but in lore in general. Mm-hmm. The Grafton monster is constantly looking for his head.
Mm. I know I said this in an episode before about Thomas Jefferson, but I'm having thoughts now that you have channeled your inner Rust Cole from True Detective. And if I walk through that door, there's going to be like a whole wall full of photos and pins, and you've like tied all of this together.
Tied it all together, yeah.
Wow. I am actually impressed right now with that. So, I when you told me that you were going to like, this was going to tie in and all of this together, I was like, how? There's, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, oh my God, David, I might just done something here, man.
So my theory is the Beast of Grafton is Jack Wilson.
Who had his
head cut off and was buried in the woods near the river,
mm-hmm.
which is every time where the Grafton monster is seen is mm-hmm. in the woods near the river.
Well, I think you're right. I believe it. I will... That makes sense.
Now, why would this Grafton monster stay near the river?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a head. He only has this, like, his sense of touch would have to be heightened. Because, right. like, when people go blind or people go deaf, their other senses mm-hmm. increase.
Mm-hmm.
So the river, not only can you hear it, can you smell it,
mm-hmm.
can you see it, you can also feel it.
True.
So that would be...
So realistically, the Grafton monster would be fairly easy to trick, I would think, in that sense, if it can't see or hear.
If it is now, it may have grown something to allow it. I mean, and within the game itself.
Well, that's true. I just think it's so cool that they are pulling all of this lore. And if you are correct, which, I mean, it sounds very plausible that you are, that would be some, like, insane attention to detail for them to include Sickle Man and, like, all
See,
of this stuff.
It doesn't, the thing is, it doesn't answer the question,
mm-hmm.
which is my question for this episode, who is Sickle Man? Is Sickle Man Tom Dixon, the guy who beheaded him?
Mm.
Or is it Jack Wilson, the Grafton monster, who originally had the sickle?
That's true. Also, let's talk about the fact that this man lived out in the wilderness trying to toughen himself up. And he comes at this guy to kill him. And then he gets got
mm-hmm.
with his own sickle. Cold world. That really is cold.
The other thing that I thought was interesting, just of looking at like reasons for these monsters to exist in a post-radiated world,
mm-hmm.
The original idea for zombies comes from nuclear radiation. And so you have resurrected this zombie man that has sunken into the earth
true.
In Fallout 76. So you have this headless giant... Zombie Jack Wilson, also known as the Beast of Grafton.
Maybe Mothman is here to save us, though.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the case.
Maybe the Mothman is going to be the hero of Fallout 76, and we just don't know it
and
yet.
We just don't, that we don't know. But I do know that I've narrowed down the Sickle Man to two different people.
Okay.
And I've looked all over.
Let's hear it.
Well, it's, of course, Tom Dixon and Jack Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to, like,
yeah, it's two guys. My question... is how is Tom Dixon included in this Fallout 76 tale?
Well.
Is Sickle Man still with us?
My thing is, if there's not going to be any other characters that aren't like real players,
mm-hmm.
there's not going to be like another, there's not going to be like a man.
What about a ghoul?
A ghoul. Oh, well, that's true.
A ghoul and his rivalry with a zombie.
You're dropping too much knowledge on me right now. I can't handle this. I'm sorry. I can't do this. Well, yeah.
So I moved this episode specifically to this day because I did the research on the Grafton Monster and then was doing research for our eventual Halloween episode and found the story. And then I was sitting in bed one night and I was like, wait a second, how far did this happen? And then I was like, you know, I'm a geographer and I was like doing the mapping. I was like, wait a second, this is the same town. This is what happened. The Telltale Lilac Bush is like a very famous ghost story book.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other ghost stories in there. It's just one of them. So as far as Fallout 76, maybe he is Jack Wilson. Maybe I'm just making all this up.
Maybe you really are like Rush Cole right now and you are. Well, he was right. He ended up being right. Spoiler alert, but maybe.
Well, only time will tell.
Time will tell. 2 months will tell.
Well,
it's less than 2 months now.
It's less than 2 months. That's true.
We're creeping up on it.
So, Austin, this week I've got some stuff from the holler here, down our holler called the Vault Boys.
The holler. Let's hear it.
I've got two questions coming in by email that I'm going to read off here for you. Let's see. This is from Samuel. Samuel says, I have a simple question. As you know, in past Fallout games, there have been legendary enemies, and how they can be mutated and become more powerful. I have listened, not completely focusing, to all of your podcasts so far, and I might have missed it, but I do remember you talking about your own character and getting random mutations. Do you think that your enemies can get the same random mutations during the battle, just like in earlier games? And he says, and that's okay if you've talked about it earlier. I would love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Thanks, from Samuel. So my theory is that, yeah, there's going to be mutations on enemies. It was in Fallout 4. You're going to have the same thing like where you, I would assume that you would be shooting the thing.
You shoot the thing.
You'd be shooting the monster, it would go down, and then all of a sudden it would mutate and it would get much stronger.
I wouldn't think they're going to just do away with that.
I'm interested. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I'm interested to see how enemies are going to evolve as this game is a live series, and if they have any ideas for not only just like adding in new enemies, but also like mutating them more as time goes on.
And I'm sure, like they've said, eventually there will be DLC and there'll be all that stuff. And I feel like there's so much they can do with it since the game is being developed in this way and it's going to be multi, like there's being online, like there's, I feel like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of room for change, improvement. I mean, I think that they can have some fun with this and like listen to what people are saying as it goes, and especially from the beta, obviously, but like just, I think there'll be some fun surprises.
Interested to see how they get creative with a live game like this.
I mean, it's obviously new for them, but the way they're going about this, it seems like they definitely know what they're doing and they are confident in it. So I think it's going to be fun. I think that they have a lot of good stuff in store for everybody.
Well, thank you, Samuel, for writing into the show. We really appreciate all the questions we get, and we try to read them off every week as we get to them, and I have people here to answer them. That's not just my particular opinion when it comes from it. Our next question is from Sean. He says, hey guys, love the show. Since I have been listening to your shows, a question keeps coming at me. Between the game's location and the cosmetic micro purchases, do you think that there will be any West Virginia style clothing or emotes that we can come to that are tied to the culture and history of the state? Keep doing what you're doing, from Sean.
Personally, I think there will be. I think that would be really awesome too. Even if it's just like a pair of like overall, you know what I mean? Like just kind of like an Appalachian inspired. I mean, like even like a coal miner's uniform or like, you know what I mean? Like, and I saw, you know, in the trailer, you see like a fireman.
I think those are Charleston firemen. I think that's like specifically for Charleston,
but I'm pretty sure there are like coal mines in the game and stuff too. Mm-hmm.
There's coal mines in the game. Yeah.
So I would think that there has to be at some point like a coal mining, even just like a helmet with the light on it or something like
that. They have mining helmets in Fallout 4 too.
So it's like there will be, I would think, I can't think of a reason why there wouldn't be.
Why there wouldn't
I guess.
Be. Yeah.
Which I think would be fun.
My ideas that I have that I think would be interesting would be, first of all, if you're going to make a game in West Virginia, you're going to have a coonskin hat. I'm going to be 100% surprised if you don't have a coonskin hat.
Daniel Boone hat.
And if you don't have a full Mountaineer outfit. If you
that
like,
that would be...
In my opinion, you've got to have, like, that's an iconic, when you think of yes. West Virginia, you think of this Mountaineer guy.
That would be sick.
I'm interested to see what they do with Voltech University and how much they make it look like WVU.
Yes.
And what
their... Woodburn Hall is there, which is good. That's a good start.
But I mean, the design of the, like, because they're going to have, like, jerseys or something that, you know, people are going to wear and they're going to have. So as far as clothing, that's what I...
Yeah. I think I'm just... Along with that, with WVU, I'm interested to see with Vault Tech how like expansive that university will be, because WVU is a really big school up there. Like there's like two campuses I think across town. I mean, so I feel like Morgantown is going to have a pretty significant role in the game at some point.
I'm interested. I want to cover it, but it's one of those things that like. I'm probably going to wait until after the game and then cover it as it stands within the game.
Yeah. It'll be cool because Morgantown, there's a lot of really cool stuff up there. So, I mean, yeah.
I'm interested to see if they do anything with Marshall as well as you're sitting there in your Marshall colors.
Hopefully. Maybe. I mean, you know, two major universities.
Maybe a nod. Maybe like a little
if it's a nod. I would, but as a Herd fan, as a Marshall alum, I hope that they do.
Get a little Marco nod, you know.
A little Marco nod. Or just even like a John Marshall statue. It's cool.
So for emotes, I've come up with a few that I think would be interesting to see. And these are suggestions, if they don't have them already. Number one that I have would be the Jesco White Mountain Dance. In Grand Theft Auto V, if you don't know who Jesco... Well, let me go back. If you don't know who Jesco White is...
The Dancing Outlaw.
Jesco White is famous for a PBS documentary called The Dancing Outlaw, in which he declares himself the last mountain dancer. And that's his father was also the last mountain dancer. When he died, Jesco became the last mountain dancer. Jesco is prolific and is...
something.
is a wild personality. Johnny Knoxville did a whole documentary on his family, the White family. But he is famous and has been even in music videos and was motion captured for Grand Theft Auto V and can be seen on top of the mountain. That they have motion captured him and made him a character to where he dances in there. So I would think it would be interesting to see like them do some motion capture and get like a Jesco White Dancing Outlaw emote.
That would be pretty sweet.
The others I have is, are you familiar with Diamond Dave's Ninja School?
Is that the ninja star?
Yep, I was thinking that if you go online, look up the Redneck Ninja. That's how I found it before. I would love for them to have a Judy Chop, which is what he calls his. And it's very important in the Diamond Dave School of Ninja that you say it when you do it. Ninja so you chop. Have to Judy Chop as you have to say that, and then Ninja Chop. So there's Karate Chop too, but I like Judy and Ninja.
I like it.
Let's see. I have
maybe like one where you eat a pepperoni roll. That would be sweet.
I have on here, like we talked about before, an emote that's very Charleston, where your character would grab a piece of bread, hold it up, and say, "You're toast." That would be like a threat.
Man.
That would be a threat. Toast. Be like,
can he throw it like a frisbee at the enemy?
That's
can
what I would like. Is have that as an emote to be like, you know, you're toast.
Maybe you combine the ninja star. With your toast.
Oh, man.
He says your toast, and then he goes, Ninja Star, and he throws it, and it's both in one.
Got it.
Opening up so many possibilities here.
And then a shout out to a clothing brand. You can also have your three up, two up.
Three up, two
up. And get your WV sign in there, where you got three fingers making your W, two fingers making your V. You throw them up.
Hey, man, I think that would be a cool incorporation in the game.
They would be stoked.
But I'm a little biased.
You'd be stoked.
I'd be stoked.
So as far as our emails, that's it for this week. One thing I want to mention to you is that we are on Instagram. So if you want to see some more photos from the Mothman Festival, we have a story on Instagram. You can look at some of the stuff we've taken. You get to look at our pretty faces, and you get to look at me with a real sad face wearing a Vault Tech hat. We also have Twitter, where I've now taken to posting hints from this week. So if you've seen a tweet of a headless horseman, and I said I'm going to mention everything in here in the podcast except for Sleepy Hollow. So we mentioned the woods. We mentioned the dark horse of Charleston sitting over here. We mentioned the headless man and then the pumpkin. I mention it right now. So you get all those mentions, as well as other tweets that I've tweeted out, which have River, which we talked about, the Tiger River, and Grim Reaper. In those tweets. So if you want a little bit of a hint, find out what we're doing next, it's a great place to go. Read it up. Thank you for being patient with us and allowing us to have a week off so that we could write more amazing stuff. We've got episodes all the way up to release, and we're going to be doing some more collaborations here soon that I'll let you know about so you can stay tuned. Don't forget to email us your questions at vaultboyswv@gmail.com. Check us out on social media at VaultBoysWV and tell your friends. Rate and review us on iTunes to get a shout-out like...
We have a few shout-outs
here. Oh, we got a few shout-outs.
We have a few. So we've sort of monitored... well, this is from Apple Podcasts, and we see that we do have a lot of people commenting and rating us and everything. And we've got, let's see, King Outlaw 3466, Cold Iron... I like that name. Makes you think of Injured Cold. Junior Gear Hunter, Noldy, the Neo God, Fallout 304, the KDM 8788. That was a lot. Zachy Sun. It's cool because, I mean, they're leaving comments talking about this guy grew up in Nevada, lives in Tennessee, says West Virginia is his true home.
You said Nevada correctly. I'll mention that.
Yes. I have friends in Nevada that at an early age, they hammered that into my brain.
just like Appalachia.
Just like Appalachia. Let's see. This person said, I thought my state was cool. Not only am I more excited for Fallout 76, now I want to visit West Virginia. So it's awesome.
That's good. That's all I
can't wait for Fallout 76. We appreciate everybody's comments, support, critique of things, letting us know what they like, what they don't like. So, yeah. Any sort of feedback, we greatly, greatly appreciate.
And if you feed us back on iTunes, we will shout you out like Austin just did and give you a little bit of respect because we love our listeners. We love it when you interact with us on all of our social media. So, Austin, I hope I get to see some more of you. I like having you back. I like having you back here in the little studio. But for now, unfortunately, the vault door is closing. Stay safe. And welcome to the season. Burton, Burton, Ben. Hitting Burton, Burton.
Try again.